This winter has been colder than average over much of the Great Lakes. The ice cover over the Great Lakes system was at 88.3% as of March 1st, and as of that same day, 94.1% of Lake Superior was ice covered. Here at the western end of the Big Lake, we can still usually see a big patch of open water, though that moves from day to day. The ice piles up on the south shore when winds have a northern component, and on our side of the lake when winds are southerly, so our hopes of spring, pinned to that blue water, can be raised or dashed, depending on which way the wind is blowing. Hamlet must have lived on the south shore to be but mad north-northwest. As the ice sheets slosh back and forth, colliding with the shore and other ice sheets, dead fish and other small aquatic critters at the surface end up getting embedded in the ice. By March and April, we see increasing numbers of crows, ravens, and eagles walking on the ice. When people ask me what they're looking for, I explain about these frozen dinners, but I've never had a good photo of what's happening until I heard from Kelly Preheim, a kindergarten teacher and birder from South Dakota. On February 28th, Kelly wrote in her wonderful Bird Teach blog, "The lake at Lake Andes National Wildlife Refuge had a fish kill last year, and in mid-March there were hundreds of bald eagles, American crows, and gulls at the lake in a feeding frenzy. It was quite loud amongst the flurry of wings, and I was amazed at what I saw. This year is proving to be a repeat year. Today there were deceased fish scattered all along the surface, with some fish in these vertical ice jams." Kelly posted an amazing photo of fish trapped in the ice and gave me permission to use it on my blog at blog.lauraerickson.com. Apparently, wind and wave action had pushed some ice sheets into a vertical position, and fish that had been trapped, probably dead on their sides when originally frozen, were propped up and appeared to be jumping, some looking quite alive within the ice sheet. She also added a photo of an eagle on the ice amid fish carcasses. I've never seen anything that dramatic on Lake Superior. The oligotrophic nature of our lake, that is, its high oxygen content and low density of plankton and vegetation, along with its sheer size, keep concentrations of fish down. Sure enough, the fish we see combing the ice aren't nearly as concentrated on the lake as they are in Alois Bay off Wisconsin Point, and even there I've never seen anything like what Kelly documented in South Dakota. She posted another photo to show just how many eagles were gathered nearby. Even if I can't see the fish from shore in my neck of the woods in anything like Kelly's surreal photos, experienced birds know that fish are there, and even inexperienced ones discover them either by spotting them as they fly over or by noticing other birds picking away. I've never flown over the lake myself, so I can't be certain, but I'm sure there are both insects and fish, some mostly intact and some in bits and pieces, sitting out there just waiting to be eaten. Up here in the north, ice sometimes remains in Lake Superior until May, and trees in some pockets close to the lake may not have much leaf out before June, so signs of spring can be subtle and easy to miss. Even our fish kills are apparently not as dramatic as they are in other places. Watching crows and eagles combing the decaying ice surface for bits of dead aquatic animals may not appeal to some people, but I'll take spring as it comes. If you want to hear more about Kelly's adventures with her students, I have links to her blog and her Flickr page at blog.lauraerickson.com. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.